Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Okay, well, here we are at the end of our very long journey of Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
What an experience it was.
Yes. So I'm just thinking that everybody has a lot to be grateful to us for because we did what they don't have to now.
Right. We unpacked a whole genre of Christmas movies that I didn't even know existed until we started doing this.
So I want to say, first of all, how this was born. I am a lover of Christmas specials. I'm a lover of Christmas in general. Yep. And I tend to force people to watch Christmas specials with me on my birthday, which is at the end of November. And so I just thought, what a great opportunity to add some new ones to my list, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I love Christmas specials so much. I'm going to go on the record and say not a single one that we watched will be added to my list. Even the ones that weren't bad, none of them.
Right. There were several that we ended up liking just in the universe of the project. But yeah.
Nothing. Like nothing.
None of them are rememberable. And before we started recording, Deirdre, I mentioned we should start by doing a review of our experiences. And Deirdre said, I don't remember any of the names of the movies.
Or which ones went with which plots. So what we're going to do instead is talk about the genres we discovered. And then we're going to talk to you about the Christmas specials we really do love and why. So let's just do a rundown of tropes that we've found.
So I'll start with the big one that I think we could both agree on is Christmas was the background for a lot of these movies.
Yep.
They have Christmas in the name. They have holidays in the name. But at the end, the movie would have little to nothing to do with Christmas.
Yeah. So let's make a movie and let's sell it at Christmas time by adding Christmas.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to do a running list of the tropes I can remember off the top of my head. You add any that I forget. Ready?
Go for it.
Okay. So city person and country person with differences of opinions come together and learn the meaning of Christmas. A small child is wiser than all of the adults. There's a slutty single aunt or a single woman or a friend that is always in there. There is the almost kiss before the real kiss. There's the bizarre fabricated fight over nothing. There's the couple not getting along at all at the beginning for no real reason. There is the pretending to be together for the sake of nosy parents. In fact, there's mothers who are obsessed with their daughters being in a relationship. There's the dead parent. There's always a dead parent.
Yep.
Arbitrary deadlines. Big party that the entire town comes to at the end, and the center of the town being all Christmassy and having the entire town hang out at it. Did I miss any?
I just to piggyback on that last one, the towns are always so small that everyone can get together at the drop of a hat and just walk to where they need to go. And vehicles are time's a bitch.
Time is irrelevant. Oh, and there's always a town party that's been tradition where everybody in the town comes to.
Yes, at the end. Some sort of town tradition, be it a party, a gathering. Just hanging out a bar weirdly and
miracle snow. There's always miracle snow.
Yep.
Snow at the last minute.
Yep, there's that.
Yep.
The main character's friends are just on either side of the spectrum, either too funny, too obnoxious, too whatever. They're just not normal people. Well, quote unquote normal.
And really bad graphics for the credits at the beginning.
Yep. And when
bad green screen.
I was gonna say when Netflix or whoever budgeted, they'd put like $10 to a green screen.
Okay, so that's the problem with everything that we watched. So let's talk about what we love.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with A Christmas Carol.
And when Deirdre says A Christmas Carol, she means
all of the Christmas carols. Right. So I love this movie so much that I have watched every version of it ever made and forced my friends to do the same. So when I say I love A Christmas Carol, I love a bunch of them. I'm going to tell you just quickly which ones are my favorites and why. So my number one favorite is The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yep.
Believe it or not, it's as as good as you get. It's really, really close to the original adaptation. Plus, it's super funny. The visuals are amazing. And Michael Caine is probably the best Scrooge ever, or tied. He's tied for the best Scrooge.
You've always gone back and forth, Elise, when talking. Yeah. But Michael Caine is always at least in the top two whenever we spoke.
And he's amazing.
From what I've seen, I agree.
Yeah, so Michael Caine is fantastic. I love that he's so serious through the whole fact that he's surrounded by Muppets. It really makes me laugh. So I think that the one that always comes up against that for the best Scrooge is I'm drawing a blank now on his name. C. Scott. George C. Scott.
George C. Scott.
So George C. Scott's Scrooge is amazing. The overall production is also really, really good, but his Scrooge is pretty amazing. And then there's the three. They aren't necessarily the very first ones ever made, but they're the first ones made as a full adaptation of the book, right, by Dickens. So the first Christmas Carol that's really an adaptation of the full novel is made in, what year is it made in?
1913. Well, so according to Wikipedia, it came out in 1913. The U.S. release was 1926.
And the star of that is?
Sir Seymour Hicks.
So Seymour Hicks is considered the first real Scrooge. And this movie is, you can only see it. It looks like somebody filmed a film of a film, and the special effects are hilarious. So when Marley comes in, it's just nobody, and he just stares at space and is afraid. But it's a really good first toe dipped in, and I like it just for the sake of it being the first.
Right.
Yeah. And then my next favorite, and this is it's funny. You can tell a lot about a person by which Scrooge they like the best, not just the movie The Christmas Carol, but the actual Scrooge. And the next one is?
That would be Reginald Owen.
Yeah. So there's a few in between there, but this is the next one of note. So Reginald Owen was a comedic actor, and he's silly and funny, and he plays kind of a goofy Scrooge. So he's not my favorite Scrooge, but the actual production of this leaves in some stuff that the other ones take out. I have a few lines that are crucially important to me, or little exchanges that I don't like when they take them out. And this one has all of them. It has the beginning lines of the novel. Jacob was dead as a doornail. And that, I think, is really important. It has the scene intact between the nephew at the beginning, and he says all of the right things at the end. And they're just, it's a good overall production, but he's a little too goofy for me. Next up is arguably the one that most people say is the quintessential one, and that's Alastair Sims.
Yep.
So he's an amazing Scrooge, and the production is amazing. My only problem with this one is it is missing a few of those things that I really love. And then next comes the George C. Scott one that I mentioned earlier, that I think is just an overall amazing production. So those are my faves. I did make Brendan watch all of them last year. So
not all. Well, so we watched all of the Muppet Christmas Carol one. And then Deirdre showed me clips of various other ones, and we probably had a 2-hour discussion unprompted on the basically a more detailed explanation of everything she just explained to you for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, so I just friggin' love it, and it gets me in the season.
Yeah, no, it's totally, I mean, there's so many things to watch in terms of A Christmas Carol, and I'm pretty sure given your directorial knowledge, you could probably piece together a great one with.
Yeah, maybe that's on my bucket list. Maybe I'll be doing that someday.
Yeah.
All right. So I just took up a lot of time. Brendan, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
So I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I know we could probably have its own podcast episode. So I'm not going to talk about Die Hard. again, it's its own podcast episode. That,
Brendan is definitely on the Die Hard is a Christmas movie train.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack, but you know, this is not the time nor place. So in general, my favorite Christmas movie is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Why?
Because it has everything that I like in a movie, and mm-hmm. adding the Christmas theme to it didn't deter from it. It's a
short list of everything you like in a, like, rattle it off. What's your list of everything you like in a movie?
Just really goofy, funny shit. Even within a well-placed story.
Mm-hmm.
The character, I guess in comparison to what we've seen for the Cheese Wanted Christmas project, the characters are well written, even though you already are familiar with them from previous movies. But the coherence of all of them in this
and the
one
story
particular
makes
story.
Sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's revolved around an actual Christmas experience. It's not named Christmas Vacation just for the sake of making money. It is a you can feel the Christmas within the Griswold
family. It's inherent in the story.
Yeah. And so I guess if there's a second place one, there's a couple of horror Christmas movies.
Oh my God, there's something really wrong with you. I can't even believe horror and Christmas movies are in the same sentence. I might have to stop hanging out with you.
Wow.
I'll need more wine and cheese.
All right. Well, I know Christmas is a deal breaker for you, so I won't bring that up again.
Yes, please don't, because don't be messing with my Christmas spirit.
But one's called Krampus. Are you familiar with Krampus?
I am familiar with Krampus, and that always makes me think of that time of the month. So,
fair enough.
Just saying.
Fair enough.
The word, not the movie. I've never seen the movie. I have heard of it.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, I can't even tell you what my second place is because it's a three-way tie. So I'm going to throw them out there and you tell me if any of them make it into your top group.
Okay.
So my next three are The Grinch, the Jim Carrey version.
Yep. I enjoy that because you showed it to me.
On my birthday.
Yep.
Elf. Is right up there.
Yeah. Well, I've seen since we've become friends, I've seen Elf more times than I have before.
Yep. And then A Christmas Story, which I haven't made you watch yet.
Right. But
I've never made you sit down.
Right. I'm a human being that had cable TV. So
so you've seen it, but we haven't watched that one together.
Correct.
So those are my top three. I have not included animated movies. If I was going to include animated movies, my favorite animated one is The Christmas It Almost Wasn't, or whatever one has Heat Miser and Snow Miser in it.
I don't remember.
It's either Santa Claus is Coming to Town or no, that's the one with the Winter Warlock. Sorry. I think it's The Christmas It Almost Wasn't. I'm not sure. But it's the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser one. That's my favorite animated. So did I miss any that's in your top five other than horror Christmas?
I it's tough to say just because, Die Hard's definitely in there, but I'm not, again, not talking about it. Christmas Vacation, because of you, Elf is definitely in there.
Mm-hmm.
Muppet Christmas Carol is swimming around. I can't mm-hmm. place it just because I haven't seen it enough.
Yep. That takes multiple watches. You notice something new every time you watch that.
Right.
Yep.
Well, when I watched it with Deirdre on her birthday, she actually pointed out a couple of things she never noticed before.
Yep.
So, and then again, I'm not going to talk about the genre that cannot be named.
No, we will not talk about that.
But it's for me, that's usually my go-to when I have nothing to watch is that genre. So Christmas movies that fall into that realm, I like.
So I'm going to tell you what I like about those ones in the top. So just briefly, I like Elf because it is sweet and heartwarming, and Will Ferrell is just, I'm not even a huge Will Ferrell fan, but it's funny as all get out.
Yep.
The Grinch, again, I don't like Jim Carrey in any other movie except for this one. There's something about it tying back to the childhood Grinch one, which was one of my favorite ones to watch, the cartoon one. And it it does such a good job bringing Whoville to life. It's so believable.
Oh, yeah.
And also sweet and heartwarming. I'm starting to see a trend here. Christmas Story I like because it reminds me of the things that I thought when I was a kid at Christmas time. I think it really captures the kid's point of view at Christmas time.
Yep, and I think that's why it's become its own trope in a way.
Yes.
That TBS or whatever Turner company, mm-hmm. you know, blasts it 24 hours straight is because people watch it because kids.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, but I felt that. Now I give an honorable mention to It's a Wonderful Life, but I don't find myself compelled to watch it over and over again the way the other ones are. I think it's sweet. I think it's lovely. I think it's a well-made movie, but I've just realized as I'm talking about it right now, it is just not as quotable as the other ones. And right. How do you keep a Christmas special in your heart? You quote it all year round.
Right. And I guess now that I'm thinking about it, the other one that comes to mind is Home Alone.
Oh, yeah, the Home Alone series, yeah.
But I don't know if that falls under the same category.
Those are very fun. And I think same thing. Like, it's a kid's fantasy, right? Right.
But I don't know if it falls under Christmas is just a backdrop, even though it's a bit stronger in Home Alone than it is.
I think in the first one, it's definitely a Christmas movie. Yeah. I think the rest of them are, I don't know. It's a stretch. So I'm going to rattle off a few of my favorite quotes.
Go for it.
Okay. So let's see. From Christmas Story, I like, I double dog dare you. I like, you'll shoot your eye out.
Who doesn't?
Right. Let me think. I like, it's fragile.
Yep.
So must be from France. From Elf, I like, he's an angry elf. I like to whisper too, Francisco. That's fun to say.
I know there's another one that you quote all the time.
He smells like beef and cheese.
Yes.
He sits on a throne of lies. That's... You're not the real Santa. I know him. Yeah, the whole like Santa scene. For The Grinch, I like solve world hunger, tell no one. Hate, double hate, loathe entirely. I love those. I'm sure there's more from that one. But those are my top ones. Those are my top quotes. Yeah, so those are my favorites. And I think, you know, cynical and mean-spirited as I can be sometimes, I think I want a Christmas special that leaves me feeling happier than when I started watching it.
No, that's very... everyone needs something like that.
And I think that I'm realizing, especially with the last couple kind of horror, you know, years we've had dealing with COVID and all of that, that sometimes you need something to vault you into the Christmas spirit.
Yep.
For parents with young kids that are so stressed out and like up to their eyeballs and trying to get stuff done, to be able to sit down and have a cup of cocoa or a glass of wine and watch one of those specials, either with or without your kids, and just feel like, oh yeah, right, Christmas.
Right. Well, I all the movies that you've listed are ones that essentially can hit the reset button.
Yep.
If you're feeling more Grinchy or yes. Scroogey than you are upbeat elf,
yeah.
Buddy the Elf.
I think you're right. They're good. They're a reset button. And I think that's why none of the other movies made me happy. I don't think any of them felt like a reset button.
You mean that we've done for Cheese
Wine
and Christmas?
Yeah, the Cheese Wine and Christmas ones just did not feel like a reset. I think you right. just put your finger on it right there.
Yeah, well, most of them were rom-coms. And
yeah. Or just nonsense, or basically.
El Camino Christmas, we're looking at you.
Can I just say that I've mentioned that one countless times, and people say, well, what was the worst one you watched? I was like, the one that ended in suicide by cop.
Right.
Like, I can't believe that phrase and Christmas special happened in the same sentence, but
yeah,
it did.
It was Christmas Reservoir Dogs.
They should have named it that. Okay, well, so I'm looking out the window, and there's some magical Christmas snow. Ironically, there was no snow yesterday, and just like our favorite Christmas specials, we had a magical Christmas snow.
Yeah, I was out there earlier. Felt good.
Yeah, I have my my children and my stepchildren around me, and they are showing me how wise children can be. And Brenton and I are planning on staging a ridiculous fight for no reason as soon as we get off the podcast.
It's what we do best.
So on that note, I just want to say to everybody, thanks for going on this journey with us. And really, I hope you have the merriest of Christmases. We're going to finish the rest of the wine right about now.
Since I didn't get to quote any of my favorite Christmas movies, we're going to end with, "Now I Have a Machine Gun." Ho, ho, ho. Ho.